You hear about it all the time, right? Another cyber attack,
Okay.
another company, another headline. But this one's a little different.
Yeah.
What if I told you it happened on New Year's Eve?
Oh, wow.
Everyone's out celebrating, and hackers are breaking into the U.S. Treasury. Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, not the kind of fireworks anyone was expecting.
Definitely not. So today we're going deep. We're diving into a cybersecurity firm's analysis of this hack. We want to figure out what makes this one stand out and what it means for, well, everyone.
Right. And I think the biggest thing here, the thing that should really worry people is what it could all mean, the impact.
The impact.
Yeah, we're talking about the Treasury, the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
This is the center of our entire financial system.
Right.
And even if they didn't get to like classified top secret stuff,
Yeah.
the data they did get could be a gold mine, right? For anyone looking to manipulate the markets or, get some kind of economic edge.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Before we get too far ahead, let's go back to the beginning. How did they even get in? Was this some like Ocean's 11 situation? Masks and lasers.
Not quite, no. I mean, it's more like digital ninjas.
Digital ninja, okay.
Yeah, they found a weakness, a vulnerability in a program called Beyond Trust.
Beyond Trust.
Yeah, a lot of companies use it for remote tech support, when IT needs to access your computer remotely to fix something.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a virtual doorway, but in this case, the hackers figured out how to pick the lock.
So they didn't like hack the Treasury's main vault directly?
No, not directly. They went after this third-party vendor, Beyond Trust, and what they stole was a security key.
A security key.
Yeah, the key was meant to protect a cloud-based service. It's kind of like finding a master key, one that bypasses all the other locks.
And this master key gave them access to what kind of data are we actually talking about?
That's the part that's really unsettling. The report doesn't get into specifics, which honestly just makes it scarier.
Yeah, I could see that.
The Treasury doesn't just handle money. We're talking economic trends, trade secrets, international financial dealings, the kind of information that could be used for, economic warfare, even espionage.
Espionage.
Yeah.
So it's not just about stealing money, it's about stealing secrets.
It's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
The report links the attack to this group called Salt Typhoon.
Salt Typhoon.
Yeah, and security researchers think they're connected to the Chinese government. So you could almost picture it, like a digital typhoon ripping through networks, gathering information, disrupting systems. That's the kind of force we're dealing with.
This is starting to feel less heist and more spy thriller.
Yeah, a bit, right.
So if these Salt Typhoon hackers are state-sponsored, what's the goal? What are they after?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
There have been other incidents where they've been linked to accessing private communications, even text messages.
Wow.
So are they building some huge intelligence database, trying to get an advantage in trade deals? It could be anything. And that's what makes it so unsettling.
Okay, so we've got shadowy hackers, potentially really important data stolen,
Yeah.
and a lot of unanswered questions. What has the Treasury done about all this? Have they managed to secure things?
Well, they took the compromised service offline,
Right.
which makes sense, but it's kind of like closing the barn door after the horse has already run off,
Yeah.
They've also said they've strengthened their defenses and they've brought in the FBI and CISA to investigate.
Okay.
But will that actually be enough to prevent this kind of thing from happening again? That's what everyone's wondering.
And that brings us to the big question.
Yeah.
Why should you, the listener, care about some treasury hack? It all seems pretty far removed from everyday life.
It might seem that way, but it's not really. Think about all those third-party services you use every day.
Sure.
Your bank, your favorite online stores, your social media, they're all part of this digital world. And a witness in one part can affect everything.
So if the Treasury, with all their resources, can get hacked,
Exactly.
what does that say about the security of all these other systems we use?
That's the point. This hack shows us just how connected we all are in this digital age. And cybersecurity, it's not just a government problem anymore. It's something we all need to be thinking about, taking steps to protect ourselves. It really is. It's like, you pull on one thread of a spider web, the whole thing shakes.
Yeah.
And this treasury hack, it shows that how connected we all are, all this risk, it comes with it.
So what can we actually do about it? I mean, most people aren't cybersecurity experts.
Right.
We just want to, do our thing online
Of course.
without worrying about, hackers in the shadows stealing our stuff.
Yeah, and you shouldn't have to be like a cybersecurity whiz
Right.
to buy something online or, just check your bank account.
Exactly.
But there are some things, practical steps. that anyone can take. To be safer, I mean.
Okay, lay it on us. What are the must-dos for, you know, regular people like me?
Well, first off, think about what you're putting out there. Online, I mean. Before you share anything sensitive on social media or whatever, or sign up for something that wants a lot of your info, think twice.
Right.
Because the less you share, the less of a target you are, right?
Makes sense. So be careful what we share. What else?
Turn on that multi-factor authentication whenever you can.
Oh, yeah.
Is that extra step.
Yeah, where they send a code to your phone or whatever.
Exactly. Might seem like a pain, but it really adds a lot of security.
Yeah, I've seen that option. I'll admit, I sometimes skip it just because it's faster.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I should rethink that.
Yeah, it's worth it. And speaking of being careful, those emails or messages that seem kind of fishy,
yeah,
especially if they want you to click a link or download something,
right,
don't just click. Phishing scams, they're getting really good, so make sure it's actually from who it says it's from.
Don't click anything that seems weird.
Cool.
Got it. But what about, like, the companies or even governments, the ones we're trusting with our data? What's their responsibility?
They've got to have strong security at every level. Regular updates, strong encryption for anything sensitive,
yeah,
and those security audits to find and fix any problems.
That all sounds good, but how do we know they're actually doing it? As users, I mean.
Transparency. That's key. They need to be upfront about what they're doing to keep our data safe, tell us what steps they're taking, and if something does happen, if there's a breach, they need to have a plan.
Yeah.
Tell people who are affected. Quickly.
So it's kind of a two-way street.
It is.
They need to do their part to keep our data secure, and we need to stay informed and, you know, make sure they're actually doing it.
Exactly.
But does it ever feel like hopeless?
Yeah.
The hackers always seem to be a step ahead.
It's true that things are always changing. In cybersecurity, I mean.
Yeah.
What works today might not work tomorrow. But we can't just give up, right?
Right.
We have to be proactive. We have to adapt, learn from our mistakes, learn from what works.
So stay vigilant. Learn, adapt, new threats all the time.
Yeah, and that security mindset, bring it into everything you do online. And it takes everyone working together too, you know, people, companies, governments, to really make things safer online.
That's a lot. Where do we even start?
Education. The more you know about the risks, the better you can protect yourself.
Right.
And demand those better security practices from, you know, the companies you deal with.
So knowledge is power.
Absolutely. It lets you make better choices, ask the right questions, and hold people accountable. That's how we build a more secure future, you know, online.
A more secure future. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We've covered a lot today.
We have.
This treasury hack and, you know, the bigger picture of cybersecurity. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just remember that cybersecurity, it's not just about firewalls or, you know, fancy encryption.
Right.
It's about people.
People.
Yeah. Understanding how we act, what makes us vulnerable, building systems that can handle both, like, you know, the technical attacks and the social engineering tricks.
So it's a human problem.
Hmm.
Not just a technology problem.
Exactly.
And the solutions, they have to be human-centered.
Exactly. We need systems that are secure but also easy to use.
Yeah.
Systems that protect our data but don't, like, take away our privacy or our freedom.
Right.
Finding that balance, that's what matters.
Finding that balance, that's the key. Okay, I think that's a great place to leave it.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity, it's a human issue. We need human-centered solutions.
Yeah.
Something to think about. Finding that balance. Easier said than done, right? Okay, before we wrap up this whole deep dive into this treasury thing, one last question for everyone listening. We talked about what individuals can do, what companies and governments need to do, but let's zoom out even more. Like, big picture. What does this whole hack tell us about how we as a society deal with technology?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I think it shows that there's this tension, right? We want convenience, but we also need security.
Right.
And we love, love all the ways technology makes our lives easier. But we don't always think about what could go wrong.
It's like we just get excited about the shiny new gadgets, the new services, whatever. And we don't always stop and think, hey, what if?
Exactly. And this hack, this treasury thing, it's a wake-up call. It shows us that those what-ifs, they can have real consequences. It's like we have to figure out a better balance, you know? Innovation and security, convenience and caution.
But how do we actually do that? It's like a constant back and forth.
I don't think there's one easy answer. It's a conversation we need to keep having as a society. What do we value? What are our priorities? What are we willing to give up? Maybe a little convenience for more security. Or, you know, the other way around.
And everyone's got to be part of that, right? Individuals, companies, governments, we all have skin in the game.
Absolutely. The decisions we make now, they're going to shape what the future looks like. We can focus on security, build systems that are tough, that can stand up to anything. Or we can say, convenience is king, and just accept that there's going to be more risk.
And that choice. It's going to affect everything. Our lives, the economy, everything.
No pressure. Right.
Yeah, none at all. But seriously, this is something we all got to think about. It's not just our data we're trying to protect. It's our whole way of life. I mean, everything's digital these days.
That's it. That's it. And I think on that note, this is probably a good place to, you know, wrap up our deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks for being here with us today. And everyone listening, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe out there in the digital world.